Good evening. If you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. This evening I would like to return to a series that I began in September of last year. And if you are like me, you may have been asking, he preached on that in September? If you don't remember anything I said back then, we'll just do a little bit of review to catch us up regarding this topic of zeal or passion. Let's go ahead and begin just by thinking about this word. We mentioned that the Greek and Hebrew words, I'll let you at least pronounce those for yourself. When you look at these words and how they are translated in the Bible, whether in the Old or New Testaments, they are usually translated along the lines of zealous, jealous, burning, indignation, fervent, eager. You see this something within the person's being spoken of as zealous or jealous, or something within in them that wants them to protect the relationship. Like in Exodus chapter 20, God is spoken of as being jealous for his people and not wanting them to commit idolatry. It's the same word for zeal, or just burning within him. He wants his people to serve him, to love him. And he's willing to do whatever he can to protect and help them to do that. As we'll see, it's a strong desire within us that leads to something. It's just not I'm enthusiastic or I'm excited about the Indianapolis Colts or whatever your team may be, kind of likes Kentucky. But it's more than just that excitement or that enthusiasm. It's this fire within that leads you to actually go and do something, to show love, to go in and serve somebody for the Lord. It's so much deeper than enthusiasm. Whenever you see people within the Bible or the Lord, as we'll look at in Isaiah 9, do things that are led by zeal, those things are just amazing. They make a difference. There's no questioning whether or not the one who shows zeal cares about what's going on. So in Isaiah chapter 9, I'd like to at least review a few of the passages that talk about the zeal of God. Isaiah 9 verses 6 and 7, a well-known passage in Isaiah chapter 9 that is a prophecy of the Messiah. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And he continues, talking about the authority that he will be given. Now, this is what the Lord was planning to do. And what led him to want to do this? What was pushing the Lord to want to bring the Messiah into the world, to save the world through him? Well, at the end of verse 7, it says, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." That fire within the Lord to keep his promises. I think in, at least here, his promises to David about bringing his descendant to give the kingdom to. God just so badly wanted to do that because he promised it. So his fire within him led him to make this promise and to bring it about. Then also in Isaiah chapter 42 and also 59, you can turn there if you'd like, but I'm not going to read those passages. But these two passages that I have up on the screen describe God as a soldier. One of them describes God putting his armor on to go out to battle to save his people. How he wraps himself in zeal. Then the first passage talks about God being like a soldier, stirring up his zeal to go and fight. I gave the illustration of whenever you watch big battles on in a movie or on TV, before the battle, you just see those who are leading the soldiers doing what they can to stir up the desire to fight, to just get them believing that they are going to win. That's just the kind of illustration we have about the Lord. But of course, the Lord doesn't need to be stirred up to think he's going to win. He just needs his passion to do something. He's going to do it. He has that fire. It's always there, his passion for his people, to fight on their behalf, to show his love to them. And this passion, this zeal, this burning within, it needs to be reflected in the lives of God's people too. When God has that burning within himself, that passion, it leads him to serve, to show love. And that's exactly what we are called to do. And in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, I think we see this. It says, Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, to cleanse for himself a people for his own possession, who have that fire, that zeal for good works. Yes, we need to have enthusiasm. Yes, we need to be eager. But that needs to show in doing something. All through the book of Titus, you see this focus of God's people being devoted to good works. It's not just a thing they do here and then, wait a little bit, maybe do a couple weeks later. This is something that they devote their lives to. They give their lives over to. When you look at God's people, you know, if I point to any one person, you can say, yeah, that person, he's on fire for Jesus. And you see it in what he does for God's people. Now, can that be said of you? Can that be said of me? And we talked about in our second lesson just how this passage and what is revealed in it to us needs to stir us up, needs to lead us to be zealous. Just the fact of the gospel message that's in here, how he purchased us from slavery, how he purified us, removed our sins, and how he took possession of us as his own special holy people. And knowing those facts, shouldn't those lead us to action? To want to do something for the one who gave so much for us and has done so much for us. Jesus did not redeem us, purify us, make us his possession so we can be lukewarm. Once again, Paul says to Titus here that Jesus did these things to create from himself a people who are zealous for good works. Jesus died to make zealous Christians. Zealous Christians are faithful Christians. He died so we could be a people of conviction, a people who will follow in his steps, serve as he did, love and have compassion as he did, to show the same kind of diligence to obey the Father as he did. So that at least catches us up. Now, in the time we have left, I'd like to talk about at least one of the traits of zealous people that we talked about, at least in part, in our first lesson. I gave this definition up on the screen after we looked at a bunch of passages, and especially the New Testament, of how I would define zeal. Zeal is having a burning desire within to please God, which leads to action, as I've been talking about, to love and serve others with courage, diligence, and wisdom. I'd like to look at some of these character traits over the next few lessons that I'll be able to preach over the coming months. And each one of these, the courage, the diligence, the wisdom, the loving service, all these are logs that we put on the fire to keep that fire burning hot as God's people. And if we are not feeling right now that we are on fire for the Lord, it's usually something in one of these areas that is lacking. Maybe we're not showing the diligence. Maybe there is laziness in our lives. Maybe we're not seeking wisdom or getting into God's word as we should. Maybe we're just letting fear paralyze us. We're afraid of whatever results may come for us standing up and doing what is right. And we decide to do nothing. And that kills the fire within us. So those are the topics I'd like to look at over the coming weeks. But today I'd like to talk about the last one on that list, wisdom. The need for wisdom. It's an important thing for us to seek if we are going to have zeal that is channeled in the right direction. It's very important. Now I'd like to at least talk about two reasons why that's the case in our lesson this evening. First, maybe. Oh, I did have it. Knowledge and wisdom, seeking those things first, will make sure that we are being zealous for the right things. It will make sure we are being zealous for the right things. It is possible that we can be passionate, that we can be on fire for something and be absolutely wrong in what we are being passionate towards. Just because someone's enthusiastic doesn't mean they're right. Sure, you or me may be able to think of many instances in our lives where we were passionate about something we believed, and then just a few months later, we see, well, I wasn't right in that. Many things I've changed my views on, if I look back in the past, I'd see, wow, I can't believe I believe that. I was so passionate about it. Man, I think there's a few examples of this idea in the Bible. First, Romans chapter 10, verse 2. We have the example of the Jews in this passage, Romans 10 and verse 2. Paul says, I can testify about them, speaking of the Jews, that they have a zeal for God. You look at them, and wow, they look like they have this fire within them that is leading them to do things. But there's something missing. It says, but not according to knowledge. The zeal is not being channeled the right way. It's leading them in the wrong direction. And it's not just the case that Paul here is ridiculing them and just saying, yep, they're wrong, they're ignorant. He's speaking from experience, isn't he? Paul knows what it's like to be in the shoes of his fellow Jews, being zealous for the law, for the traditions of the Jews, but not having the truth, not doing right. He used to be one of them. In Galatians 1, he talks about his previous life in Judaism, when he used to live as a Pharisee. Verses 13 and 14, Paul says, for you have heard about my former way of life in Judaism, how I intensely persecuted God's church and tried to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my people because I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. That's Paul. Was he zealous whenever he was a Jew trying to persecute this new sect that came about, leading them to blaspheme, putting many of them to death? Why did he do that? Because he felt he had the truth. That's what he believed. And whatever truth Saul believed he had, he was going to very passionately show his love and service to what he believes is true. Also in Philippians 3, we see the same idea. Philippians 3 and verse 5. Paul says that he was circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, regarding the law, a Pharisee, regarding zeal, persecuting the church, regarding the righteousness that is of the law, blameless. And twice he talks about himself in that former life in Judaism being one who was on fire for the law, zealous, passionate about the traditions that were handed down from their forefathers. But with that zeal, was Paul right in what he was doing? Was he right? When Paul was on the road to Damascus, and he was confronted by Jesus, what did he believe? As he looked back on all that he had done. Is it safe to say he looked back and said, would say, "Boy, I was passionately wrong. All that I had done in my zeal was sin." That's how Paul was, and that's what he's describing amongst his fellow Jews in Romans chapter 10 and verse 2, when he says they have zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. In that passage, they were passionate about seeking righteousness, but it was the wrong kind of righteousness that they were seeking, one that came by keeping the law, instead of a righteousness that would come through faith. The way Paul describes it in Romans chapter 10 is that they missed what was easily attainable because their zeal blinded them to the truth, blinded them to their Messiah. How easy can that happen with us? You have such religious people in the Pharisees and with Paul. But since their zeal was focused or channeled in the wrong direction, they were missing what was plain, what was so clear, what God expected them to see from the Old Testament. Could we be so blinded by our passion for our traditions, for what we were always taught as we were growing up, that we miss some things that are very clear and plain that God expects of us? Their zeal was leading them the wrong way. How about a good example? We have a good example of zeal that's directed towards the right things. I think you will probably guess who I'm going to give you. Jesus. He gives us an example of being zealous for the right things. I think we saw that in the passage I referred to in Isaiah 59. Remember the passage that talks about the Lord putting on this armor and coming to fight for the salvation of his people? My opinion is that's talking about Jesus wrapping himself with a cloak of zeal to come in and fight, to bring salvation for his people. Then he just dropped off that armor and left it for us to do the same. His zeal brought us salvation. But also, I think we see this in John chapter 2, this zeal that Jesus has. If anybody knew the Father, it was Jesus. If anyone had wisdom and knew the truth of the law and the need to respect the one who the temple belonged to, it was Jesus. When he came into the temple, saw those who claimed to be God's people, what they had done to it, how they had turned it into a marketplace, into a den of thieves. What did he feel within himself? You say he was fired up? That he had anger within him, indignation, zeal? Yeah. He loved his father and saw what they were doing and showed his zeal, his passion for God's house and cleansed it. Drove out the people who were buying and selling animals, turned over the tables of the money changers. And his disciples, as they saw that, remembered something from the law, where it was written in John chapter 2, verse 17, says this, says, "Zeal for your house will consume me. Zeal for your house will consume me." As far as we know, Jesus didn't just do this once. Quite possibly he did twice in his ministry, where he showed this zeal for God's house. What led him to that? Was it just he saw this stuff and was angry? I'm sure it was part of it. But ultimately, I believe it was his love for God. His knowledge of God, his knowledge of God's holiness and how this temple should be treated, that led him to have this fire within him to do what he did in this instance. Now, many may look at what Jesus did there, and it wouldn't surprise me if many of the Jews there that watched Jesus do this may have said, "Wow, he's on fire, but he's going overboard. Over the top." Is that true? No. He did what was right here in showing his zeal and love for God. I think I made this point in September. Those who are zealous, those who are on fire for the Lord, often it's the case that others who aren't so much will point to that person and say, "Wow, they're going overboard. They're just way over the top." It's those that may be the ones who are doing what's right. Those who we need to look at and say, "Man, I need that fire. I need that passion. I need that kind of faithfulness to the Lord." Oftentimes it's just, you know, and this is sometimes my gut reaction, my impulse is just to, when I don't feel comfortable with how someone else is acting, because they seem a lot more zealous than me, I just kick back. You know, that's sometimes how we are. We kick against the goads, as Saul did on the road to Damascus. We're uncomfortable with that level of zeal. As we grow in wisdom, as we grow in our knowledge of God and His Word, man, just imagine the kind of things we can do for Him. As we see who God is, what He's done for us, shouldn't that stir something up within you? Shouldn't you grow in your love more and more and more? And shouldn't that fire, that love, lead you to do something? Instead of making excuses why you don't have to do something. We need to be devoted to the things that Jesus was devoted to. He was devoted to God's people, to God's house. He was zealous. And we need to be also. So that's our first point. Second, knowledge, seeking knowledge and wisdom. Also keep us from doing damage, doing things that we should not do. There's an old saying. It goes like this. Fire in the fireplace warms the house, but fire on the carpet burns the house down. Fire can be good, right? But fire can also be destructive. Very destructive. Seeking wisdom makes it so that we don't say or do things in our zeal to cause damage. This often happens. I know this happened for me whenever I first obeyed the gospel, where I received salvation, my sins were forgiven, all that weight was off my shoulders. And I'm like, man, this is amazing. I need to talk to everybody I can about this. I need to share the Lord with others. And of course, the first ones I want to share the Lord with is my family, right? And I didn't know better, but I would go to my family, my parents even. I tell them about how they're going to hell. Usually one of the first things that came out of my mouth. Now, was that right? Maybe true that's where they would have gone. But was that the wise way to approach it? Could it be that in my zeal, I may have been like that bull in the china shop that just caused damage? Instead of taking a step back, asking wisdom of others, hey, how should I approach this? Seeking the word and seeing how to approach people as Jesus did. Wisdom could have helped me. Are there any examples in Scripture of people who were zealous that cause damage? I think so. I think one good example of this is a king of Israel, a man named Jehu. In 2 Kings 9, Jehu was anointed as the king over Israel. And when he was anointed, God commissioned him to go and take care of the household of Ahab. To destroy them all because of the injustice and all the innocent blood that was shed on his watch. And Jehu did a mighty fine job at that. He killed the king of Israel, Jehoram, the son of Ahab. He killed Jezebel. Chapter 10 of 2 Kings, he has all the sons of Ahab, 70 and all put to death. Now, did he do right in that? I believe so. He did exactly what the Lord told him to do. And after this, in 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse 16, as Jehu is traveling, he comes up to a man and invites this man to come into his chariot. And here's what he says to him. He's not done yet. He says, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. So he had him ride in his chariot. And when he came to Samaria, he struck down all who remained to Ahab in Samaria, till he had wiped them out, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke to Elijah. Now, may that have been exactly the way I would have worded it? Probably not. I probably would prefer, come help, let me show you the Lord. May he be too focused on himself here, maybe. But he wants to show how he wants to fulfill this command the Lord has given him to this person. He has this fire within him that leads him to go do that. To me, at least up to this point, everything seems right. You may have a different judgment on that, though. He's obeying. He's showing great zeal. But then I think he may go a little too far. In 2 Kings chapter 10, verses 18 through 27, Jehu uses some deception in his zeal for the Lord. He collects all the worshipers of Baal into one place, tells them, "We're going to have the best Baal feast you could ever think of having." Makes it seem like he himself is going to be part of this celebration for Baal. So he is deceptive. He gets them all into this one place and had them all put to death. Now, did God want Baal worship taken out of the land? You betcha. Point to many passages in the law that would show that. But is this the way he wanted it done? Through lying? No. Could it be that if he sought the Lord, he could have got a much more wise way of doing it that pleased the Lord? I believe so. But Jehu, he didn't just stop here. We also see in 2 Kings 10, verses 13 to 15, that he kills 42 men who are relatives of Ahaziah, the king of Judah. He put them to death also. Men who were likely descendants of King David. I struggle to say that was the right thing to do. I don't know. But it's telling that after all these things, that at the end of his reign, this is what is said of Jehu. He was not careful to follow the instruction of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart. He had some zeal, that's for sure. But he went too far. Did not allow himself to be guided with wisdom to make sure that all he was doing was pleasing to the Lord. His zeal could not justify all of his actions. The end just does not justify the means that he used to make that happen. I do believe the same can happen with us. Now, we may not in our zeal go and kill idolaters. At least I hope not. But we can be just as guilty of getting ourselves into trouble and saying and doing things we may regret because we just didn't seek the Lord as we were in zeal trying to do something for him. And we need to make sure if we are a people who wants nothing more, we have this burning desire within us to please God in all we do, we need to make sure it's really something God wants us to do. There's only one place to go to get that information. We need God's wisdom from his word. We need God's wisdom from even those who have been studying his word for a long time. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, Proverbs says. And we need to seek that guidance, so we can make sure that in our zeal for the Lord, we don't cause damage. God is good. And He is worth giving all to. Every fiber of our beings, He is deserving of. He's deserving of all the zeal that we can give Him and so much more. Do you want to please the Lord? Do you want to please Him? Are you pleasing the Lord even now? Do you believe that you are zealous for Him and in His ways? If you are, then praise the Lord if you're zealous for Him. Try to spread that zeal, that fire that you have for the Lord with others, even with His people. But if you feel that you don't have the zeal that you need to have for God, that what Jesus has done for you has not led you to be zealous for good works, and we want to help give you wisdom today to lead you in the direction to salvation, to know the Lord. You can do that tonight by obeying the gospel. If you have a heart that is repentant, you believe the good news that Jesus died for your sins, was raised from His grave, was seen by those eyewitnesses, you can be baptized into Christ today. Have your sins washed away and be a child of God, a prized possession of His. And in doing that, you can be zealous for good works, just as Jesus was and is. If there's anything we can do for you today to help you to know the Lord, why don't you make your knee known as together we stand and sing.